Jesus.
Have you decided to follow Jesus?
Amen.
All right. I hope y'all didn't come expecting me to do a whole lot of hooping and hollering because I got to get through some stuff today.
That's right.
You know, we all have days, we all have weeks, right? At the end of the day, when you look back, you know, sometimes I ask myself the question, did I do my best today? Was what I did today my best? And some days my answer is no. And that causes a reflection of back on what could I have done differently?
Okay.
And how could I have responded differently?
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because I have been constantly tested and tried. When I started this ministry, I started being very careful, trying to be very careful about the messages that I selected, because I often found that when I would select a message, that the Lord would make me live through it during the week. So I tried to stay away from things that would cause conflict and such, because I found that I would have to work my way through it.
That's right.
Because you can't stand up and tell folks, hold on just a little while longer, everything is going to be all right, if you've never had to hold on. Am I right about it? You don't want to hear from somebody, hold on, and they ain't never had to hold on to anything. So today we're going to talk from the book of Philippians, 4th chapter, verses 4 through 9. And I've titled this, God is Still in Control. The book of Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, everything that is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things.
Think on these things.
Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Mm-hmm. And the result will be the God of peace will be with you. God, our Father, Lord, we thank you for this time to have a reflection and fellowship. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in my sight, in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God is still in control. You know, if we could live in a world where there's no trouble or no difficulties or no conflicts or no difficult circumstances or worrisome situations, no illness nor pain, then maybe we would never experience trials and sorrows. But the truth of the matter is we live in a fallen and a broken and a sin-sick world. And it often seems that as soon as we get through something, something else comes along.
Yes, it does.
You know, I had a different message. And, you know, I grew up in church. I'm going to be real with y'all, so if you don't like it, you don't have to come back. But I'd rather you know where I'm really coming from.
Right.
I have grown up in church, right?
Yeah.
I've been underneath a lot of folks, a lot of preachers, and I've heard a lot of good preaching, and I've heard a lot of good teaching. And I have learned over the years what to say, when to say it. How to say it. Right. The church faces, the church phrases. Right? God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. But we don't often put that into practice on a daily basis. And you know, oftentimes let me share something with you. I have a situation that has been bothersome to me.
Go ahead.
For a minute. And it came to a head this week. I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking about me.
Come on.
And it came to a head this week, and I took counsel. And I said to one of my good friends who pastors a very large church, and we were talking about it, because I had made the mistake of saying something to the family. And then the family got involved, and I said, no. So I took counsel. And Doc said to me, he said, let me ask you something. He said, because you seem to be very knowledgeable, and I've known you for many years, but this doesn't seem like it should be unresolved at this point. And said something to me that caused me to go back and change my message. He said, well, what have you asked the Lord to do about this particular situation? And that was right then and there that I realized that I had spent time talking at it. I had been talking to God. I'd been talking at him about this particular situation. I had been telling him and giving him a replay and a rerun of how I felt, but I never asked him to fix it.
Come on, talk to
him. I realized I never asked him to restore it.
Go ahead.
And it spoke to me, and it just something came to me that said, you know, I am still in control.
Yeah. Yeah.
The problem was I didn't allow him control. I just kept talking at it and saying, well, it should be this way, and I feel that this should be this way, and I feel that this should go like this, and it should be back and forth, and it should be real smooth, but I never asked him to smooth it out. So when the word came to me that he is still in control, I had to sit back, and I had to find some peace.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't going to preach today. Because this man was my pastor for 22 years, and I had seen him on occasion get up to the pulpit and then say, Minister Hendricks, I want you to bring the word. And afterwards, he would say to me, don't ever preach mad.
That's right.
And I was mad. And I said, I'm not going to come up into the pulpit mad. I was going to call you.
All right.
And then I said, no, you've got some stuff going on. Let me call Reverend Bass. So I said, Siri, call Reverend Bass. And Siri said back to me, there are no Bass shops in your immediate area. I said, my goodness. So I cleared it up. I said, Siri, call Reverend Bass. And it says, are you looking to call the Bass shop? And I said, my goodness, I can't get through to him.
Okay.
So someone said to me, you're not supposed to talk to him.
Okay.
Get this worked out in your spirit and then preach that thing.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad today. I'm not mad at anybody. We're going to work through something. I'm going to share something with you. Amen?
All right.
God is still in control.
Yeah.
All right? Problems happen. Bad stuff invades our lives. And at times we find trouble.
Trouble.
Finding peace.
Yeah.
But listen to the words of Jesus in John 16 and 33. Have peace in me.
Yeah.
Because here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows.
That's
but
right.
Take heart. Because I have overcome the world.
Yeah.
Amen.
Jesus said in John, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind.
Peace of mind.
And heart. And the peace that I give is not from the world. The world can't give it. So don't be troubled or afraid. So my thing is, if the world didn't give it to me,
yeah,
then nothing in the world can take it away. The only way that the world can take away the joy that I have is that if I put it on the table and allow it to be taken away. If the world didn't give it to me, the world can't take it away. If God gives it to you, the only thing that can move something that God has ordained into place is God himself. Have peace, take heart, don't be troubled or afraid. Those are the words that Jesus said to us. So if you need peace in your heart today, listen to the words. Do you need to experience the peace that only Jesus can bring into your life? Do you need to experience his healing touch today? Whatever your circumstances that you're facing now, I suggest that you need to experience his peace in your heart. And don't be troubled or afraid. The Bible tells us not to be anxious about anything. That's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? Because as humans, we are right now folks. We want direct deposit. We don't want to go to the bank. We don't want to pay a toll. We go through the easy pass. Everything is right now, from popcorn to lasagna. Everything is right now. And sometimes when there's a situation, we want it fixed right now. But the Bible says, don't be anxious for anything, but give it to me and thank me in advance, and I'll work it out. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he told them that God's peace exceeds anything that you can understand.
Yeah,
it's a peace that doesn't make sense to the world.
Right.
It's what allows Christians to dance around the casket of their loved one. It's a peace that only we can understand.
That's right.
But there's a condition.
Condition.
Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything.
Amen.
The other day, I went to, on Friday night, listen. See, if you have a preacher and he stand up and he tell you that all is well and always it's always all well and good and everything is always all right and you know everything is good, you might want to get out from under them. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna tell you the truth. Friday night I went to bed mad.
Come on.
I went to bed so mad that when I woke up on Saturday morning, the first thing that came out of my mouth, and I wasn't even conscious. The first thing that came out of my mouth on Saturday morning when I opened my eyes was, wow, I'm still angry.
Come on.
I had to check myself. I said, how in the world? I wasn't even thinking about anything.
Come on, talk to us.
But see, stuff festers if you don't take it to where it's supposed to be and leave it there. We can experience real peace in our hearts and our minds when we trust God, even in the middle of a mess. Are you hearing me? Even in the middle of a mess, those unwelcome, sometimes unexpected complications in life that have a way of coming to us, right? Sometimes one after the other. Sometimes by mistakes that we have made. Sometimes mistakes that others have made. Sometimes by things we've done on purpose. Sometimes by things we've done on accident. And sometimes it's just life. Sometimes it's just messy.
Amen.
Beyond our control, all shapes and sizes, financial, work-related, school, health, relationships, and sometimes it's all of it at the same time.
Yes, it does.
But the first step in getting centered in God is declare is to trust God. God is for me.
Yes, it
is. That's personal.
Yes, it is.
Say, God is for me.
God is for me.
God loves me.
Yes,
in fact, He even likes me.
Yes.
Right? Right. So now, when you have people, there's some people in your life that are loyal to you simply because of what they can get from you.
Yeah.
And as soon as somebody else comes along with a better song, they have jumped ship. Right? When a new church opens, the doors are flooded, you can't get a seat. And then when they got all that they can, and they've got every last food card that you
have,
and you've given them a ride everywhere you can, and you've given them clothes, and you've paid their electric bill, then they go to the next
place
to get some more.
You got it.
But God. God is faithful, and He's faithful all the time. If you believe God is for you, you can really endure anything. You can face prison, persecution, poverty, sickness, loneliness, failure. If you believe God is for you, you have the strength that you need already to persevere anything that this life throws at you. But you have to understand that God is ultimately in control. And if you don't turn it over to Him, you're going to stay in a mess. But now here's the thing, if you don't believe that God is for you, instead you believe God is out to get you, or if you believe that whatever I do is my business and it doesn't affect other people, that's something else too, right? So you can't have one without the other. You can't have heaven without hell. It just doesn't make sense. If everybody's going to heaven, why is there even a hell? So if you believe in God, then you have to believe in the devil. So if you believe in God, you believe in heaven. If you believe in that, you know that there is a devil, and if there is a devil, that there is hell. So if there is hell, that means there's a consequence to your actions. So that means what, everything isn't all right. If you believe that God isn't for you, you believe He's out to get you, every problem becomes monumental.
Come on.
Yeah.
Every obstacle becomes insurmountable.
Yeah.
Something as simple as forgetting something can make it doubt the very value of your existence. Am I talking to anybody? It's a crucial first step towards getting centered, because you need to believe that God is for you. He's trusting. You can trust Him, and He's in control. In this world, I think that you would agree, it seems like everything is out of control.
Come on, talk to us.
It seems like we're just doing whatever we want to do.
Come on.
And the church is doing whatever it wants to do.
Yeah.
Right? Come on now. It doesn't feel like the good guys are winning sometimes. Reports on crime and war, unrest all over the world. Our young men are being gunned down in the street.
Come on now.
Police officers work with guns every day. They're trained with guns. They know what a gun looks like. That little boy over there can tell the difference between a cell phone and a gun.
Out of control.
That's how it appears.
But God is still
on the throne. No situation is beyond His grasp. And nothing is too too hard for him.
Nothing.
He's powerful to work it all out.
Yes, he is.
We see examples of this through the Bible when the people of Israel stood on the banks of the Red Sea with rushing water in front of them and Pharaoh's army coming in behind them. The situation looked out of control, didn't it? As a matter of fact, they complained. They said, why would you lead us here?
Yeah.
Now look what you've done. Now what are we going to do? But God was in control. He stepped in, and what did he do? He parted the waters. But he just didn't do, see, he doesn't do anything half. Everything he does is first class. He parted the waters, and they allowed them to go through on dry land. We missed that part. They didn't get in the muck and the mire at the bottom. They went through on dry land. God, with all the emphasis on how they always seem.
Come on now.
Right? He made a way for the people of Israel to pass through the Red Sea. And then he did what? He closed up the doors. Come on now. God is still in control. In the same way Jesus was arrested on that Friday, his disciples were scattered, he was crucified, his lifeless body was put in a tomb. The world appeared out of control, didn't it? The Bible says that the sun didn't even want to shine, right? The Bible says that the dead got up out of the cemetery to say, what in the world happened to Jesus? That appears out of control. It appeared that it was chaotic and that all Jesus worked for, all he spoke about, had been lost forever. But with God, things aren't always how they appear to be. The situation that you're in is not how it appears to be. God is in control.
Amen.
The death of Jesus on the cross wasn't a victory for Satan, but it appeared that way to him, didn't it? Come on now, y'all, I don't know what I'm talking about. It was a crushing defeat for him. God was in control. Some of us face out of control situations right now. Life seems to be tossing us one mess after another, one disaster after another, one catastrophe after another, one death after another. But God is in control. Sometimes we don't respond correctly to things. But you need to think about a situation no one can fix. But God.
But God.
In spite of how things appear, I want you to know God is in control. Come on now. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever it is, God knows about it.
Yes,
the situation isn't unique to him. He's already been tempted and tried on every hand. Nothing you bring to him is too dirty. Nothing that you bring to him is too bad. Whatever it is, but you've got to bring it to him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You can't catch him off guard. He's not surprised by your mess.
Come on.
He's not surprised by my mess.
Right.
I think he was surprised that I didn't ask him to fix it. I could imagine, when I thought about it, and I got convicted in my spirit, I said, he must be looking at me going, wow, all of your education, you've been brought up in the church.
Yeah.
Go into my office, there's degrees and diplomas all around the room, and I didn't have sense enough to ask him to fix it.
Come on, come on.
Come on.
Amen.
Because I thought I could do it.
Come on, talk to him.
Made it worse. He knows all about our messes. If you want to find a place in peace during the storm, if you wanted to get centered in the middle of a mess, then you need to nail that down. He's in control, and he can handle it. But you've got to acknowledge it.
Yes.
Am I right about it? You want to know if you're in a mess right now and you feel like life is against you, you're not alone. In the book of Psalms, listen to this. You know, David didn't write them all, but we attribute them to David. Right? And David was a man after God's own heart. He messed up consistently, but he knew how to go back and ask for forgiveness. But he said, why, O Lord, do you stand so far away? Why do you hide yourself from me in times of trouble? For your arrows have sunken into me, and your hands have come down on me. You have made us turn back from the foe, and those who hate us have gotten spoiled. You have made us like sheep for the slaughter and scattered us among nations. These are words from the Bible.
Yeah.
Right? Now, God didn't move.
No, he didn't.
He didn't go anywhere.
No.
He's right where he's always been. If you're farther away from him, you moved.
Yes.
It's okay to tell God how you feel. David was telling him how he felt.
Yes, he did.
He was telling God, this is how I feel. It's absolutely okay to be honest with God. You can tell him what you feel. You can tell him what you believe. You can tell him what you doubt. You can tell him what you don't want. You can tell him what you want. But you've got to tell him exactly what's on your heart.
Yes.
We have not because we ask
not.
I have not a resolution because I never asked God for one. But I'm telling you something. I worked that out, and I asked him for it, and I claim it as already done.
It's already done.
I'm not gonna argue this anymore.
Come on, Paul.
I'm not gonna fight this anymore. God is in control.
God is in control.
I had a situation this week that took me out of character.
Come on, man.
And what it did was, it boiled over into my other relationships.
Yes,
I'm going to tell you the truth. Is that all right? Wouldn't you rather have the truth than me to just stand up here and be like, isn't God good all the time? No, I go through some stuff too. I had a situation, took me out of character. I got mad. It boiled over into the other relationships amongst people that really love me. And I responded in a way that I should not have responded.
Come on.
Other people got wind of it.
Come on, talk to us.
I had to go back and send text messages and make phone calls. How dumb is that? All because I never let God be totally in control. So if you've got storms in your life and you've got things that are going on and things that aren't right, could it be, just throwing it out there, that you have not given it totally over to God and said to him, this is what I need, and I need you to fix it. Fix it. And he'll do it.
Amen. Talk to him.
Be honest with God.
Yeah.
It's not enough to just complain to him about it.
That's right.
Don't complain to him about your children. Ask them to restore
it.
Ask him to fix it.
Amen.
Don't complain about your past.
Hallelujah.
Ask the Lord to touch his heart.
Yeah.
Don't complain about your husband to God. Don't complain about your wife to God. Ask for restoration.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Right? In spite of all that's going on, you can say to God, I will trust you.
Trust you, Lord.
Yes.
And see, that's the thing. We don't trust.
Come on, talk to
me. We use church lingo.
Yes, we do.
I promised him that I would serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord till somebody pull out a gun. We know what to say and we know how to say it, but we don't always practice it.
Come on, talk to
us. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Help me out. I'm not going to be long. We need to learn to say, God, in spite of what's going on, I will trust you. You're not hearing me. We need to learn to say, God, in spite of what is going on, I will trust you. No matter the situation, I'm going to trust you. No matter how much it hurts, I'm going to trust you. No matter how long it takes, I'm going to trust you. No matter how much they talk about me, I'm going to trust you. No matter how much they lie on me, I'm going to trust you. No matter how long the night is going to last, I'm going to trust you. I trust you because you're in control of my life. Somebody say control. Somebody say control. Control. No matter how I feel when I get up, sometimes you just have to encourage yourself. The Bible says sometimes you just have to encourage yourself. So I made a decision that when I got up on Saturday morning and the words out of my mouth were, I'm still mad, I said, I will never, ever allow myself to get in that situation again. Every morning when I rise, I will utter these words. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Y'all don't hear me, I'm going to preach the meaning of it. Tim, no matter what you're feeling in the morning, I'm gonna rejoice. know they have not. Kids still don't know nothing.
Come on.
Just like when we were kids, we didn't know nothing.
Come on.
We only knew what we were taught.
Yeah.
If the kids today don't know nothing, it's because we remained silent when we should have been shouting.
Yeah.
And we shouted when we should have remained silent. Church responds less. They say, oh, we're not going to have a program. I said, ain't nobody coming.
Yeah.
They said, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? I said to him right there, I said, ain't nobody coming. He said, so what? Do it anyhow. So I put it on the calendar. I don't care who one person come.
That's right.
Do it anyhow.
We expect less of the church. We do less in the community. We stop talking about social issues because we don't want to offend folks.
Come on,
we get silent and we should be shouting.
Yeah.
God is still in control. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. He
Amen.
Is still on the throne. And we're bringing the world into the church. But I came by desperation to tell you today that we won't mix clean with unclean in this place. The Bible says we're not to move landmarks. Come on now, whatever God has set down as a boundary and as a limit in the Word of God, we cannot move it because our inheritance is in between the boundaries. And when we move outside the boundaries, we lose our inheritance. See, you're not following me. Well, you know, we don't have a lot to give, but we have God. And that's all that we need. We're not rich in houses and lands, but we have a word from on high. And we need to pass that on to our next generation.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, talk to us.
See, God has chosen us.
Chosen.
Royal priesthood.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, what are we handing over? What is the 21st century church handing over to the next generation? Are we doing worldly things in the church and in the street? I had pastors say to me, that's the only way we can get them in the church. That's the only way we can get the young people into the church. But if you go to Hebrews, come on now. The Bible, we know that the word is what inspired. There's no error in it. So whatever in it, we know it's true, right? And the book of Hebrews says that there is no shadow of turning. All right? He is the same yesterday. He's the same right now, and he'll be the same forevermore. If it was wrong for my dad, it's wrong for me. If it's wrong for me, it's wrong for the generation behind me. See, we missed them. Where's our inheritance that's been handed to us?
Come on now.
We can't move the boundaries. I don't care who it is.
Amen.
I don't care. I don't care how much they tithe.
Come on.
Quiet, right? I don't care how much they give to the church.
Come on.
I don't care what they say. We will not move landmarks and boundaries
come
to
on.
Bring the world inside of the church house. God is still in control. Are you with me? When we hand our next generation a weak and sloppy, slowful church,
come on.
A church that can't heal folks, a church that has no social voice.
Come on.
A church that has no community outreach.
Come on.
A church that's just concerned about politics and not the soul. What are we handing the next generation?
All right.
God's still in control.
Yes.
The person that comes behind me and is the successor to this sacred desk,
uh-huh.
they won't get a weak church.
Come on.
They're not going to get one that's been dwarfed and mutated and minimized because we weren't strong enough to trust and stand on the gospel and know that God is in control of our lives and our situation. See, the Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. See, we miss it. See, we never, ever, ever needed the world to do anything for us. Jesus Christ never asked the world to do a thing. Instead, he chose a people. He chose a nation. He raised folks up, and he put himself in us, and he said, if I be lifted up, I'll do the wrong. Always unto me. Blessed is he who has wishy-washy, he is all God. Awesome and almighty, powerful, Alpha and Omega. Beginning and the end. He's still in control. Even when it doesn't look like it, he's still in control. Come on now. When Judas kissed him, he was still in control. When Peter denied him, he was still in control. It didn't look like it. On Friday, he was still in control. And on Saturday, when the world was dark, he was still in control. And early Sunday morning, he froze it. When he got up, he was all powered. He fell out of the old dark. He fell out of the deep and hell. Yes, he is in control. Yes, he can handle whatever I got. Every situation. We may not get it right now. But we stand it early.
By and by.
When the morning comes. When all the saints of God are there at home. You're going to tell a story about how we've overcome. I'm going to tell a story about how I overcame sickness. I'm going to tell a story about how
you clean me up inside. Oh,
the reality thing, and I started thinking about construction. And this is my good friend right here. His name is Mike. And I met Mike in Bethlehem. And he would wear my ear off. And then I started to wear his off. And one thing that we did was we stayed consistent. I kept saying the same things over and over and over. And he kept saying the same things over and over. And I didn't waver, and he didn't waver, and he thought I wasn't listening, and I thought he wasn't receiving anything that I had to say. But if you knew him then, and you knew me then, and you see me now, and you see him now, you would know that God is in you. He is in control, and he is a restorer. Amen. He'll do it. Didn't he do it? And what I said to you was right, wasn't it? I'm so grateful for him to be in the house because, you know, sometimes you pray for folks and you pray for folks and you just wonder, is it ever going to take hold? So I'm grateful for your friendship and I'm grateful for you continuing to see something in me that when I talked at you, you still stood there. And I saw something in you that when you talked at me, I just stood there. And just look at us now, right? Isn't that all right? All hearts and minds clear. They give a benediction. If you need to go to the bathroom, go quickly. There's up and down. You've got to have this meeting with important information. Amen. Even those of you who are not members, but after here, I need you to be here for this meeting because I don't want any phone calls. I don't want any stuff to tell you. All the information. Thank you for everything that you're doing right now. But God, we thank you for everything that you're doing.